are at the spot, the location, the place. Well, the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today we have April Childers, and she is on the edge with us to talk to women veterans that are making the transition or have transitioned from active military life to civilian life. Now, I haven't dealt with a lot of personal females, but I do have a male, and it is a transition. They have to, you know, figure out what they're going to do day to day because their life has been so structured and disciplined. It's hard sometimes for them to even use regular vocabulary because they're used to speaking in acronyms and codes. It's hard for them to go and apply for a position because sometimes people are intimidated by military personnel that come in. They think that they're rigid, that they're not flexible, but it's also the effects on women that have been in combat situations that could be very traumatic for them. They've left their children, they've left their family, or they could have been subjected to some very uncomfortable things during their tour of duty. So April is an expert at this, and she is working with this population to help them recover, adjust, and adapt. Let's welcome her to the show. How are you, April?
I am fantastic, April. Thank you for having me.
I know. Don't you love that name in springtime? I do. It makes me so happy. It really does.
Well, it is our month.
It is. Well, oddly enough, it's not for me because it's not my birthday. Were you born in April?
No, I was not.
I wasn't either. I was born in August. When were you born?
February.
It's something about the name. So tell my brains yep. How you show up in the world, please.
How I what?
How you show up in the world.
Oh, well, you know, as far as like social media, I mean,
a little bit about your history, your story and your journey and, you know, what you're doing and how you arrived at this point.
Ah, okay. Well, I am retired military. I did 20 years and I'm also a military spouse. My husband did 25 years in the Navy. And we live in Middle Tennessee right now. I am the bonus mom to two beautiful ladies and of two granddaughters. So that's fun. We are in a situation now, we're both really retired. My husband is happily retired and I always find something to keep myself busy with. And my business has gone through transitions because I was really trying to find my voice of who talked to my heart. And it came through different things. I always knew I wanted to do something with female veterans. And as my business progressed and I got more experienced, I really knew that my heart was to help women transition because this year I'll be out 10 years, but it has been a process of self-discovery, of just like you said. I mean, when we get out, whether we've done 3 years or we've done 30 years, we go through that process of figuring out who we are, because for however many years we've been told what to do, when to do it, how to do it, what to wear while we're doing it. And now all of a sudden we have all this freedom, and women, especially like you touched on, their children, they may still have children at home, and all of a sudden they're the primary caregiver and they haven't been in that situation. They may have to go out and, you know, find a job. Now they're the breadwinner. That may be the case. So there's a lot of transitions as women to pick up those, you know, a lot of pressure to pick up those traditional roles that we haven't been in for however many years.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this, actually, is that there's an expectation. Well, you know, people say, you're a sailor or you are a soldier, no matter what gender you are, mm-hmm. you know, be it male, female, or trans. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to buckle up your bootstraps and, you know, get it done. Everybody's treated equally. Then when you come out, your softer side, your femininity returns, your empathy, your empathic nature returns. Should there be maybe different exit strategy. What do they call that? I forgot that when they call it when you retire from the military. But should there be a different way of dealing with the females versus the males? Or
Well, and part of the problem is that the military does a great job of getting us in, no matter what branch you go into. They have that down to a fine science. I mean, something as simple as getting your immunizations. It's like you line up, they have people with different immunization guns, and you go through and you get all your immunizations. But to get out, they don't have a good system. I know when I got out, we went through a week-long class, and the main focus of that week-long class was finding another job. And it's like at that point, my husband and I had bought a business, so we already had a brick-and-mortar business that I wasn't looking for a job. And when I raised my hand, said, "Why do I have to be here? I'm not writing a resume. I'm not going on interviews. I don't need this." "Well, you have to have so many hours of this class, so you have to be here." So, I'm not saying I was disruptive through it, but I tried.
Well, again, there's an exit strategy for anything. When you turn 18, automatically your parents and the world think that you're an adult. There's a maturity level that goes along with that. When
Yes.
you move into your first apartment, it is an evolution. There's always change. And when, again, you've been in a very disciplined lifestyle, I won't say it's rigid because some people really enjoy it. My niece is working now in the ROTC and she can't wait to do it. Me, I don't know if I could deal with the physical endurance and somebody always in my face. But it does teach you, and there are beautiful benefits to being in the military. You get to see the world, you get to be an ambassador for the United States, you have an opportunity to go to college, you have great benefits. You're going to be taking care, they're going to take care of your medical brains. They're gonna make sure that you're well. And also they provide for your family. But making that transition, how do you come in and bridge the gap between those two worlds?
Well, and like you touched on it a little while ago, as far as females, all of a sudden you're the primary caregiver, whether it's to children or maybe an aging parent. And you touched on the femininity part of it. That's not always, it's not like you are a sailor one day or a soldier one day and you flip the switch and all of a sudden you become a normal citizen, civilian citizen. It's not that easy. So what I do is I work with the ladies to really find out, because people tell you all the time, "Oh, find your purpose, find your why, follow your dreams, create your dream life." Well, that's easy, but where do you start? I know when I retired, we used to be a running joke in the military. I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, so I stayed in the military for 20 years. And I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. So, but it's been a process of self-discovery on my part, of going out and trying different things. And I think that's where we really need to get in touch with, and that's what I help these ladies do, is get in touch with who they are at their core. What are their core values? What's important to them? What are they good at? And sometimes they don't even realize what they're good at. What do your friends come to you for advice on? If they're having situations, are you the person they come to? So sometimes we have to ask other people what we're good at because we just don't have that self-awareness of what we do because we just naturally do it because it's easy for us, but it's not, and we think it's easy for everyone else, and it's not.
Exactly.
So,
And then reconnecting with your spouse or reconnecting with your children. Talk to us a little bit
yeah.
about that. I know that you don't actually have the biological, but still, step parenting is equal to, sometimes greater than, having your own biological children. But you and your husband were both in the military, and I'm sure that there might have been a split that you weren't, in the same tour of duty all the time. I was a spouse, and my husband left, and there was an adjustment. When he came back, he was strange.
There's an adjustment when he leaves and an adjustment when he comes home.
Right. I was devastated when he left, but when he came back, I was like, okay, we got to get you reacclimated, because the child is like, okay, who is this person coming in? They're cool for the first week or two until I do something, and now there's a new disciplinarian here. There's a bass in his voice. Or intimacy. You have to reacclimate. Yeah, sure, you get all excited because you first see them, but it's like meeting somebody again. I mean, when your husband has been gone or your wife has been gone for, 6 months, now the tour duties are unaccompanied. It could be a year before you see them. It's a whole different type of thing. Sometimes they've incorporated bad habits, alcoholism, stress. And in addition to that, where are they as far as communication? You've been doing things via, now you can do Facebook, but we used to send each other cassette tapes. So there's a lot there. Do you work with the women to help them find themselves to be able to reunify with their children and their spouse?
And I will work with them to a certain extent where we can talk through tools and things. I am not a licensed counselor, so depending on what they are working through, whether they've had PTSD or MST through the military, that is something a specialized counseling. So
Now,
I
what
do
is
not.
MST? I know what PTSD is, but I don't know what MST is.
Military sexual trauma. So, women that have experienced sexual trauma while they were in. And that's something that I wouldn't do direct counseling with that because, like I said, I'm not a licensed counselor, but I would definitely encourage those women to get that counseling because until they deal with those issues, they are not going to move forward because, they're being held back by things that happened to them. And we all know that you have to deal with trauma. It just you can't just shove it down because sooner or later it's going to come back up
Right.
in
And that
ugly
comes to
ways.
you initially as the girlfriend conversation. They're coming to you to be able to pour that into you. And then, again, you are going to refer them to licensed professionals. But sometimes they don't want to go through that. They don't want the label. They don't want to go to a stranger. They want someone that is warm, inviting, that they've been there, that, they may not have shared those experiences. But it's difficult for women in the military coming up through the ranks. Did you just soar like an eagle, or, did you have ebbs and flows in your career? 20 years is a long time.
I think we all have ebbs and flows. I was blessed because I did not go in the military till I was 28. So I had the, to me, it was an advantage of a level of maturity already. And a lot of my wild days were already as a civilian. I didn't have to go through that as the military in the military. So that kept me out of a lot of trouble. And the senior leadership treated me a little different because I was older. And but some of these kids are coming right out of their parents' house, and it's the first time they've ever been out on their own. I mean, I've had kids that work for me that didn't know how to do their own laundry. So, I always said it's like raising other people's kids. People say, "Oh, did you have kids?" I had hundreds of them.
Oh yeah. And
And
there's a cultural difference too, because my husband, had explained to me that when he was in the military, he had people that come that had never seen black people. And it was an awareness. And you're going to foreign lands. You're going to
Yes.
see, Asians, Africans, Israelis, wherever you are in the world, you're going to have to immerse yourself and become acclimated with that. So it is a whole mindset, but it is also a blessing because you're able to see the fruit of the world and see how that applies and how we intertwine. It's hard though, being in the military, because there are some very delicate situations. I don't know. Have you ever been in a actual combat area?
Yes.
That's a lot of trauma too.
It is. It
It is.
is. And that And that's just it. I mean, these ladies that when they come back, as they come back, it's like all of a sudden one day you're in this situation. And when they get out, a lot of them experience this lack of purpose all of a sudden, a lack of identity, you know, whether they were in senior leadership when they got out and, you know, they were somebody in the military. And then all of a sudden they get out and they have no sense of identity. They have no sense of purpose. It's like, what do I do? Do I go work a minimum wage job? And then it's transitioning from that disciplined lifestyle to civilian lifestyle. And you talk about men, you know, men go in and they are thought of as, oh, what a great leader he is. Well, people aren't that kind to women. So they may have, you know, adjectives for us, but it's usually not, you know, what a great leader. So, you know, and that's it. It really is a process of adapting to civilian life. And you know, you talk about being a spouse, and I have a lot of respect for spouses because my husband and I both, during our time together, were the ones left at home at one point or the other. Because in the Navy, you know, you've got 6, 7 month, I don't know how long they are now, deployments. It's hard being the one left at home because you're the one in the normal routine of, you know, and you're around all of their, you're in that familiar place and they're not there. But when you're out to sea, you're on deployment, you've got a routine, you're working, you're busy, you know, you've got a purpose out there. And sometimes you know, I mean, we would go days and sometimes it's like, I haven't been outside in days. You know, I have to go out and see if there's a world out there still.
Right. The
But it's hard
dynamic
being the
and
one left behind.
the dynamics and the makeup of the military has changed considerably. You know,
Yes.
the diversity, equity, and inclusion, don't ask, don't tell, the acceptance or non-acceptance of transgenders. My husband said, "Baby, I got out just in time." He says, "Because I don't know how I would personally be able to manage that. It's not because of my personal views or how I think or the individual, but it's a very delicate dance. You know, you
Yes.
don't know what to say, you don't know how to say it, you don't know how to discipline. You know, people get intimate and they shouldn't." He said it was just a real challenge for me. He said, "When you're on the ship with the same gender, you know, you can curse and discipline and holler and all this kind of stuff, and it's okay." What do you say to young people that are about to go into the military now? If you had an opportunity to speak in front of a group of 20 recruits, what would be your encouraging words to them to prepare them for this new normal?
You know, whenever we had females, especially because I would always pull them aside and talk to them. And one of the things that I always wanted to make sure that they understood was you went through the same schooling and you have the same job that the men have. So don't come into the military and act like you're not trained and you're being cutesy or you're doing, you know, you're not here for their entertainment. You are here to do a job just like they are.
Right.
And you talk about the, you know, the transgenders and all the other stuff. It was the same way when they put women on ships. You know, I mean, they had these guys so terrified of females, of looking at us, of talking to us, and all this other stuff. And you think that, oh, well, women have been in the military for a long time. Yes, we have, but there was still adjustments for every little step we took forward, you know, everything was thrown in turmoil.
Right,
So, and
they were more stores, or they were more nursing or logistics, but they didn't have them, you know, side by side in combat.
yes. Yeah. And that's the thing is, you know, now as roles, you know, advance and we are allowed in more places, there's adjustments with every step of that process.
Right.
But, you know, if I was talking to people that were young people that were just going in, I mean, the military can be a great place. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the travel. I lived overseas twice in different places. That's what I went into the military for. But what they need to realize is that It is a job. It is sometimes a thankless job, and it is, but it's more than, it's not a 9-to-5 job. It is a
Right.
way of life. And if they are not willing to adapt to that way of life, then they probably don't need to go in, because it is an adjustment and it's not something that everyone can do. That's why everybody doesn't do it. But there's a
Well,
lot of benefit to it. And I would highly encourage them to stay in and make a career out of it, because, after we are retired, but plan for it. Don't, it doesn't
absolutely.
just accidentally happen.
And take advantage of your downtime. Go to college. You can earn your degree while you're there. It's fine. Someone says something to me, and I kind of found that it was a little insulting. They said, "Oh, well, being in the military is you're being brainwashed by the government and the Senate." And I said, "You know what? Number one, it's not just the military, and it's like being incarcerated. It's like being in jail. Look, there's disciplines, there's rules, there's regulations in life, period. And if you don't follow them, without rules, there's chaos. Now, sure,
There's
it's
also
more structured.
consequences.
Exactly. There's a lot of structure, but there are also a lot of benefits. Like you said, after 20 years, if you're able to survive and, don't go AWOL, you have great benefits, education, you still have the ability to travel. You are well respected. I mean, that ID card, it will get you in anywhere. And so what you want to do is not look at it like that. A lot of times parents send their children to the military as a form of punishment or discipline when that might have been something that they should have started at 5 or 6. And now all of a sudden you're going to toss them into this big old life basket at 18, 19. So I just don't, I don't agree that it is a form of brainwashing. I think that it is a form of discipline and control, but we all need some sort of discipline and control. At what level, to what degree? That's very individualized. But I'm glad that you are able to help people sort that out so that they are able to feel more comfortable as they re-enter into this civilian life. Because again, interviewing for a job, knowing what to wear, knowing what to say, how to not be so much the leader, but deliver yourself as an independent contributor. And this is what I have done. This is my skills. This is my work ethic. This is my integrity. This is what I'm going to bring to your organization. So there is a lot of coaching that needs to be done even after TAPS. That's what it is. Even after you go through that week of TAPS. You've got to tap dance back into a civilian life. But I want to ask you some fun questions about you, April, and just kind of get your perspective on that, okay? If you could have done anything else outside of being in the military, what would you have chosen for a career? What would you have done?
Like I said, I didn't go until I was 28, so I did a lot of things already. I attended bar, I managed a bar for years. I worked in the grocery business. I worked at a TV station and did advertising. There was nothing that ever really stuck. And when I went and talked to the recruiter, I said, if you can give me a skill that I can use in the civilian world in case I don't like the military, I'll join.
Wow, that was a
It
big
was
recruit.
that easy.
Well, so now you've taken all of your experience and you've created a podcast. Tell us a little bit about the podcast.
I have had so much fun with this podcast. It's all about women and their stories, just sharing their stories and their life experiences, because I know through my life story, everything that I have done has created me into the person, that I am today. And I love hearing the stories of these women. And it's not just like I survived my life. I survived that part of my life and I have thrived past it. And it's just, to me, an inspiration to everyone out there to what is possible. And I
Excellent.
love these stories.
So, what do you and your husband do for fun and recreation now that you're retired and You've got ease of use. That's what my husband just retired from his second career a few weeks ago. And I go, what are you gonna do? And he goes, absolutely nothing. Well, that'll only last for so long, because he woke up this morning and he goes, you know what? I don't have anywhere to go. And I was like, right, okay, this is only day eight.
You have to have a purpose. You do have to have a purpose to get out of bed every day. My husband always has a purpose. Today he's golfing. We golf together. I'm taking golf lessons now. He's much better than I am. He always has been. We travel, we take family vacations with our kids. And I would travel a lot more if it wasn't, but my husband has we have 93 acres out in the country in Middle Tennessee. And so this time of year, we cut grass. That's what we do. We cut grass.
But you know, again, you have the beautiful opportunity to travel, to have that flexibility, and also have some security of an income. Now, you
Yes.
know, people are not, they're not locked into that. Corporations, they're saying if you stay 8 years, it's a benefit.
Yeah.
It's not the 20 years and guaranteed to be grandfathered into a pension. They're not doing pensions, they're not doing 401ks. So again, you have to have a blueprint and a plan. If
Oh,
you were an appliance in the kitchen, April, what appliance would you be and why?
yeah. I think I would be a food processor.
Oh my goodness.
Gives you a little view into me. But yeah, because I mean, I love my food processor. I do all kinds of stuff with it. I make pizza dough with it. If I'm making a dish where I've got to, I can grate cheese, throw cheese in there, and yeah, so it can create or it can, I hate to say destroy, but
It
it can
can mix. It
break,
can
it can
co-mingle.
mix, it can break things down. Yeah.
Today I choose to be the refrigerator because I just want to sit somewhere and chill.
Oh,
That would be good.
nice.
If you were a flower in the garden on one of those 93 acres, what flower would you be?
Think a rose.
Why?
Well, a couple of reasons. Of one, it's because I would smell good, but I would be a little thorny, so you'd have to be careful with me. And I have rose bushes on my property, and they always bloom around Mother's Day. My mom's name was Betty Rose, so I tell my husband that's my mom
Right.
here for
That's
Mother's
beautiful.
Day.
That's
Yeah.
beautiful. That's beautiful. If you had a magical wish, what would that be?
I would say I'd wish to fix our country, but I'm not sure where that sounds like more than one wish, because it just makes me sad that it makes me sad.
It makes me sad. It makes a lot of people sad.
Yeah.
You know, when you
Hurts my
are,
heart.
especially when you have put your life on the line for everybody. I don't care, it for the animals, for the farmers. The United States was built on immigrants. You put your life on the line to protect all of us. And then you come back and veterans are disrespected. They're living on the street. They're drug addicts. It doesn't seem like your vote counts. People are not doing what you want. A woman does not have a right to her own body and to choose what's going on. Benefits are constantly changing. You know, you're not getting this, or you're not getting this, or we're cutting this, or we're cutting that. So, yeah, I would agree with you. I would join in with you in that wish. It's a lot to fix. It's a tall order.
Yeah.
You could time travel, past, present, or future. Where would you land?
Oh, that's hard. I think I would go back because I would love to see. My grandfather came over from Portugal when he was 15, 16 years old. And I think I would like to go back just to see that that young, excited version of him coming over with so much hope, you know? And I just think that would be so exciting to see.
Yeah. You're better than me, honey, as I'm not going back. And right now it's cool, but I'm going straight forward. I want to go to 3000. I want to hear what the music is like and what they're eating, how they're
Ooh, I don't
wearing their hair,
know.
if they even have hair. Oh, yeah, I'm ready to just soar. I'm ready to just take it to the next level. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, the way it is nowadays, I'm not sure if I want to go forward.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's an evolution. It's a change. It is a change. And we are in, 5G. It's not the day of 20 years ago when you joined the military or when your parents, were there or my parents were there. It's ever evolving. And, as the kids say, you got to get in line or you're going to get left behind. So I don't know. I'm going to ride the wave. I'm going to ride the wave.
Yep.
In closing, April, what do you want your legacy to be? How do you want to be remembered?
You know, it's so funny you say that. That at church they've been talking a lot about, you know, what people their wishes, you know, at the end of their life. There's a few things that, you know, they want to know that they were loved. They want to know that they want people close to them know that they were loved. I think my legacy. I want my legacy to be that I helped veterans. We're in the process right now of bringing our Veterans Coalition to a nonprofit, you know, creating a nonprofit for it. And it's to be for us to be able to work and have more resources and stuff for our local veterans. And like you said, I mean, we've got them living on the street and they're just not getting the benefits that they earned. And a lot of that is convincing them that you earned this. No one's giving you this. This is not charity. So, and that just, you know, just like female veterans, most women do not identify as a veteran. So a lot of what I put out is like the name of my private group is Women Who Have Served, because for some reason they diminish their contribution. They don't consider themselves a veteran, and that just breaks my heart.
Right, because they give an additional sacrifice.
Yeah.
I believe. Well, thank you so much for your commitment and for your service, you and your husband, for your love and your dedication, because now you haven't just left and extracted it and left it behind, but now you're pouring into other individuals, try to help them weather the storm and to be able to adjust. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how to work with you, support you, and follow you on social media.
I am all over social media. I'm coming a little heartbroken about this whole TikTok thing, but I am on TikTok of the April Childers. And you know, I think that sounds a little like uppity, but you know, April Childers was taken. So I am the April Childers.
That's all right.
My podcast is What's Her Superpower? That's on Spotify, Apple, YouTube. I'm on Facebook. My website is theaprilchilders.com, and you can see the latest episodes, see the latest news, and just reach out and say hello. If you are a female veteran, please get reach out to me and at least get on my email list. And that way we can oh, and I've got a great freebie. So you know, any brains out there that want my freebie, it's all about mindset and how we can use our, you know, adapt our mindset for to enhance our lives. So yes.
Great. And I still say America is the greatest country in the world.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Go in and love, like, share, and subscribe. Check out April's podcast. I think it's fantastic. Okay. I've listened to a couple episodes myself. Go in, share this with other female veterans that may be struggling, maybe looking for resources. Maybe looking for that initial girlfriend consultation and conversation that she can get the referrals and the resources that she needs. Because sometimes they don't want to go through traditional routes. You know how we are. We're so soft and tender. We want somebody else that understands. Thank you so much for being here on the edge with us, April. You are the best.
Thank you.
Bye, brain.